Welcome to the first episode of the Financial Markets Research Podcast. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Whitney.
Today and this week, we want to talk about Boeing. As we know, Boeing has been involved in quite a bit of scandal lately with its crashes on 737 MAX planes. It struggled to get them back online. And also more recently with some of the virus issues that we've been having, casting kind of a malaise over most of the airline industry and travel industry. So we just wanted to talk a little bit more about what we see and what we think about Boeing stock in particular, and just provide a little bit more information on the company.
So I do agree with you. Like, I think Boeing has the biggest intrigue for me, at least. I think not the least because of the complexity of the issues it's been having. It's almost like an onion. It's just, especially regarding the MAX, just multiple layers of issues. And it seems to be every time we're close to a resolution, we find more problem. And the untimely outbreak of COVID-19, I think a lot has been clouding Boeing's future. However, so I think Boeing has been a stable industry in the U.S. for such a long time. It's been a duopoly with Airbus since the beginning of aerospace. And so I think it's definitely an interesting topic and can't wait to discuss more. And I think a lot of people might have the same question, at least I do, is how did we get here? And I think the here probably means the current stock price went from 440 at the highs in March 2019 to the lows of $90 the week of mid-March. So I think really trying to see, is this a bottom and what's the future for Boeing right now? And first, I think to talk about Boeing is hard to avoid talking about the MAX, which is the plane model of the two tragedies, one in October 2018 and again in March 2019. The plane has been grounded the same month, and which is ironically the highest point of Boeing's stock. And Boeing suspended deliveries to airlines since then. And I think Boeing has since then produced about 400 aircraft before temporarily halting manufacturing for the MAX in January 2020. And the biggest uncertainty for that is the delivery date projections have been pushed back multiple times. I think in January, the issue seems to be kind of resolved then, but discovered another loophole in the software update then. And FAA has since taken away Boeing's a delegated authority to certify the MAX. And I think that move really put the timeline into a more uncertain territory. I think Boeing losing the status of being a partner of the FAA and essentially losing trust of many other national and international certification authorities is a big setback for Boeing, I would say. And I think unable to deliver the MAX plane, Boeing has since been cutting productions in 2019 and 2020 to slow the inventory build and to save cash, and also to clear the parking space. And I think that's mostly kind of the background of what's been happening for the past year and a half and before the COVID-19 situation. And I think for Boeing, I still kind of see all of those problems with the MAX being the main concern of Boeing because it's hugely expensive. Boeing couldn't comment on the timeline of MAX certification because, not the least because it's out of control, but it's also the only thing that seems to give investor any sort of confidence. And just to give a scale of the cost of MAX issue, the slowdown in production is estimated to cost $15 billion a year for Boeing, and Boeing's annual sales IE revenue is in the 100 billion range. So it's about 15% of its revenue. That's before factoring the cost and factoring the demand and all of the slowdown that might happen afterwards. So I think the cost to Boeing is kind of manifold. And first is to put the aircraft into storage and to pay for those parking spots, continuing maintenance, and continue the depreciation for all of those aircraft. And I think that's a cost to Boeing just having them on the ground. And another cost is for the fact that Boeing cannot produce as many planes because it's running out of space and cash to service the existing grounded planes. And I think Boeing has a backlog for orders that's both for the MAX and for other models outside of the MAX, but because of capacity constraints put on the MAX, it has slowed production multiple times in 2019 and in 2020. And in doing so, the revenue has slowed for Boeing, even though there's still demand out there for many of its models. So I think some of the equity researchers out there has estimated the total cost for all of those aspects added together will be in the 28.9 billion range. And among them, about 15 is related to lower production associated with the MAX and margin contraction. And another about 12 billion is related to airline missing out on capacity and having to slow their own growth and in as a result, orders for Boeing. So it's nothing to be kind of, it's no small matter for Boeing for sure, even for a company of its scale.
I see. So what kind of, given you mentioned briefly on Boeing's backlogs, generally it seems like a lot of these manufacturers operate, pretty heavily with several years of backlog orders that they're able to fill slowly. With some of the 737, with the 737 MAX, issues, and now with some of the COVID issues, is there kind of a substantial risk? Are we seeing some of the cancellations of some of their backlogs? Or, how do you see that influence, the kind of general lack of trust or slowdown in the airline industry in general influence that some of the backlogs that they have already?
I think for the U.S. airlines, I think perhaps now is a bit soon to speak on how much COVID is going to impact the order, because I think in the U.S., the matter only become very serious, I think, in the beginning of March. And I think although there's been a slowdown, it's really grinding to a halt now. And I think airlines in a crisis, I think it would take perhaps a month or two for them to really come out to the public of their timeline and plan. But also, it's also highly contingent on the government action of what kind of bailout or subsidies the airlines will receive from them. And I think those will play out into the waters. And I think we probably would see cancellations just from weakened demand from travelers. How much of that will impact Boeing? I think it's probably too early to say, but also I think it's important to keep in mind that airline orders are usually takes multiple years to fulfill. So I think airlines might themselves be hesitant to cancel orders now, because that's going to play out in perhaps multiple years when demands do pick up. So I think it's kind of early to say, but I think the biggest uncertainty of COVID is pushing out the timeline for MAX resurfacing, because I think a lot of the governments and industry resources are being redirected into COVID rescue. I don't think anyone is very, very keen on having MAX back to service right at this moment. So I think because of this timeline delay, I think most people think 18 months would be the best case scenario. And that's substantial amount of time. And I think, the $30 billion cost to Boeing as a direct result of the delay, is probably the biggest uncertainty right now and the big cost.
So for Boeing, they've put out numbers themselves that suggest that they want to get it back online within 18 months, or is it? Because I remember a bit earlier in some of the timeline, you know, as we had talked about previously, where, you know, upon their first discovery of the issues, they had kind of an abbreviated timeline on what they thought was the time before they were able to kind of release the planes and be safe again. So is there kind of any numbers around when they think, you know, okay, well, we thought it was only going to take 6 months. Now we think it's going to take a year and a half. Do they have any kind of set deadline for the people now? Or
I think the timelines are mostly coming from the research community. Boeing, since the FAA has taken away their delegated ability to certify their own planes, Boeing has never commented on the timeline. I think the investor community has recognized the fact that mostly commented on the fact that Boeing has been talking about many, many issues except for the thing that truly matters, which is the timeline. So the 18 months is coming from mostly sell-side research. Boeing has never come out with any sort of timeline. I don't think the 18 months is something that's set in stone anyways. I think it's mostly just for modeling purposes. I think it's a matter for the regulators, and it's probably very hard to speculate. But I think given the severity of COVID-19, it's definitely not a short amount of time. And uh-huh. I think, if anything, the timeline, though grim, I do think it's reasonable and it's perhaps likely.
So I guess when I look at Boeing stock trading from, you know, 440 back a couple of years ago, but maybe more recently in the 300s down here, to where it was just a couple of days ago at 80, 90, you know, and now at 160, you know, how much kind of do you attribute some of it to like the 737 MAX, and how much is it kind of just an overall, you know, virus, down, you know, economic slowdown or slowdown in the travel and airline businesses?
Yeah, so the first accident for Boeing really happened in end of 2018. And since then, Boeing's stock's been trading sideways around 400 since from 2018 to now. And over the time of the entire year of 2019, S&P rallied probably more than 30%. And Boeing trading sideways is a reflection of the unresolved MAX issue. But I think from, you know, 400 to 90, I think that's predominantly COVID issue, because we've seen that for every stock under the sun is being, you know, depreciated in value because of the virus. But I think the competitor Airbus has dropped from almost $40 to now almost $20. So I think this kind of discount in half is largely attributed to COVID, I think.
So I guess it's interesting. It's like Boeing is unfortunate in a lot of ways, where it's at the center of an industry where that's most affected by the virus. At the same time, they're unique among even their peers because they had their own unique issue with the 737 MAX. When I think about viruses and epidemics impacting and even just acts of terror back in 9/11. Impacting the airline industries, you know, how long does it take before, or, you know, what do people normally feel is the right amount of time to wait before, you know, they see airlines recover or people would like to travel again? Because normally I feel like there is, kind of a long-term effect that lasts for quite a bit longer, maybe a few years after an event, but eventually things come back to normal. But is there any kind of sense that, you know, maybe this time's different, that we won't see that maybe a recovery would be quicker or slower than previously, like in SARS or in 9/11?
I think from consumer feeling safe to travel, I think that could happen, you know, perhaps more sooner. I think, mm-hmm. you know, being in Asia during the SARS outbreak, I think at least for the case of SARS, people's memory are fairly short. Like, people's behavior went back to normal, I think, by the fall or end of that year, for sure, in my memory. But I think another, a big question now is with the unemployment, how many people are able to afford travel again. And I think, you know, from the consumer side, there will be weakened demand, I think, perhaps driven more so by the unemployment and by the lack of well effect in the stock market. And I think perhaps a bigger reason, but a bigger concern for stock is kind of government action. I think, you know, the Senate actually put together $2 trillion stimulus bill, and I think about $60 billion or so are earmarked for the entire airspace industry. And I think, you know, a bigger debate, you know, for Boeing and for its supplier and airlines are surrounded around how much of those rescue would directly impact the stock price. I think for as far as the bailout goes, I personally think it's unlikely that Boeing would take such a bailout, and it's also extremely politically unpopular for the U.S. government to have Boeing on its bailout given the fallout of the MAX. And I think from Boeing's side, first of all, Boeing's CEO, David Calhoun, has came out to say repeatedly that it does not want to take the bailout money. It does not want even more government scrutiny after the 737 MAX fallout already intensified the scrutiny and have Boeing's hand tied in multiple ways. Just going back to the TARP money in 08 for a lot of the banks aren't able to make any substantial investment decisions, risk-taking, and also it hasn't had any stock buybacks or dividends until the government approves of its business plans. And I think from that perspective, the government's kind of took control of a lot of board decisions, including electing the board members. So I think in Boeing's case, it is substantial sacrifice to take any bailout money. And I also don't think Boeing might need it, because I think point of a bailout is a cash injection to avoid a liquidity crunch and to really tide them over for the day-to-day operations. And I think for what it's worth, Boeing ended fiscal year 2019 with $9.5 billion of cash on the balance sheet and $14 billion more credit line with banks, which is already drawn down by Boeing currently. So it is almost $24 billion of dry powder of cash that Boeing can easily tap into. So I think how much, you know, the bailout from the government perspective earmarked for the entire industry is only $60 billion. How much of those that Boeing has realistic access to is probably not a huge amount compared to the cash they already has access to. I don't think Boeing need the bailout, and I don't think Boeing wants the bailout either.
Right. Given how, so, you know, it seems from Boeing's standpoint, they have $24 billion in cash, you know, $10 billion from cash they had on hand, $14 from, you know, short-term credit lines they took down, and they don't obviously want to be, you know, beholden to the government as the banks were post-recession. To government control. They obviously want to handle the fallout themselves. You know, when we see, you know, I guess I have two questions about this. You know, with $24 billion, you know, how much cash does kind of Boeing burn through in a given year? Like, how long can it possibly tide them over? It seems like short-term liquidity and, you know, keeping their operations going in the near term is not a problem. And, do you know, is it kind of the bailout is really more so to help the industry as a whole and therefore helping Boeing as kind of this secondary effect more so than the money directly going to Boeing?
Yeah, so I think for Boeing's, I don't think I've looked into how much time the Boeing's cash can sustain without revenue, like aka the cash burn, because I don't think that's a realistic scenario, because Boeing is still able to deliver. And outside of the MAX, many of the other planes are being delivered. And Boeing recently has shut down Seattle factory temporarily, but mostly to disinfect. I don't think a complete halt of production is really in the cards yet. And so then I think, you know, we've analyzed the cost of the grounding of the MAX, which is around $15 billion a year. I think that's probably the impact thus far. I don't think that this time it is that realistic of a possibility to really see Boeing with no revenue and only cost. And I think perhaps the government's bailout is better utilized to prop up the airlines and Boeing suppliers, like you mentioned before. I think because those are much more, highly levered businesses, especially for the airlines. Right now, it's completely, I think, grinding to a halt in terms of incomes. And, you know, they are facing a lot of furloughs, a lot of job loss, and also a lot of cash burn. So I think it is perhaps more meaningful to make sure the entire supply chain around Boeing is secure, and in doing so, helping Boeing in tangential ways.
Hmm. And is it kind of with some of the airlines, they have, you know, these long-term agreements to buy planes, several years, you know, where they won't get physical delivery of the planes for several years. You know, are they looking into options, you think, of canceling some of these planes? Have some of the cancellations come through? And what are some of the alternatives to this plane that you know, if you don't get the 737 MAX, you know, what do you get instead? Or, you know, what's kind of the option for airlines?
I think to train the pilot to fly a certain model plane is fairly time intensive and costly. Which is the reason why Boeing came out with the 737 MAX in the first place, is for it to be, quote unquote, so similar to the existing 737 so that they do not need to go through the same training. Obviously, that's a mistake in retrospect, but the concern from the airline's perspective, ordering other models of plane, it is rooted in this concern that it would take a lot of time for pilots to get online. And so I don't think, although Boeing currently has one competitor, namely Airbus, I don't think it's that realistic for airlines to now cancel the order from Boeing and just place it with Airbus. I think airlines are more likely to just use whatever plane it has and slow the expansion that it had previously planned and push those timeline further away, which I think, you know, in the time of coronavirus, that plan is probably sensible now.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like it would make sense for a lot of the airlines to, you know, it's okay to have, you know, a longer delivery time period, given that there's no immediate demand, you know, given what's happening in the world and with the virus and likely what's going to happen as some of a kind of a hangover effect over the next few months, maybe even a year, with travel being slower. As a result of lack of trust or just, you know, maybe lack of, you know, employment. So there's less kind of, you know, money to spend on those types of things.
Yeah, I would think so.
Are there competitors we had talked about previously in China or in other emerging market countries that are like looking to kind of, you know, that may hamper Boeing's maybe long-term prospects? So, you know, it seems like Boeing can handle itself over the short term. And the main question is, okay, well, when will it kind of go back to normal operations, generate free cash flow, do the normal, you know, fix its 737 MAX issues? But is there kind of any longer, you know, more kind of long-term issues to its existence, or any threats of, you know, any threats from more competitors?
That's a definitely interesting point, because all of the marginal demand for Boeing's plane comes from China. And I think being the country that experienced tremendous growth in recent years, it has actually definitely realized its dependence on the Boeing Airbus duopoly. So actually in 2008, China founded this company called Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China, or COMAC. It's a state-owned entity that designs and manufactures airplanes. It first partners with Bombardier from Canada to design a plane that's going to be a direct competitor to the Airbus A320neo, or the Boeing MAX, which is a narrow-body twin-jet airliner. So that is actually being tested and debuted in 2017, and the first delivery to Chinese Eastern is scheduled to be in 2021. So it's actually a fairly soon timeline, given that the time to return for service of 737 MAX for Boeing is also in the 2021. So I think that is a little bit of a concern, because and especially also as of 2018, August 2018, COMAC actually has 1,008 commitments, including 305 firm orders, mostly from Chinese leasing companies and Chinese airlines, but also a significant amount of order from GE, which is also the leasing firm. So I think in terms of threat, that's certainly a threat, not the least because the structure of the state-owned entities in China, that, you know, they're probably more inclined to take Chinese orders, or perhaps the government is incentivized to have the airlines and Chinese leasing companies to take the COMAC orders. But also, it would become a more, you know, realistic competitors to Boeing and Airbus if and when it comes online. And given the timeline, it's cutting incredibly close. So I think, you know, although we all know, like, airplane development and delivery will take years, I think this is more of a real threat given the close timeline. I think the biggest worry for Boeing is that in 2 years' time, MAX hasn't resolved its uncertainty. Boeing stock trades sideways, and then COMAC comes online, and then that would be a real threat if at that time the MAX is still not able to return to service.
Right, that makes sense. And I almost feel like with a lot of these kind of national, and I think Boeing faces competition from other countries, you know, from other, you know, companies, you know, effectively funded by the governments of other countries as well. You know, it almost feels like it's harder to compete as a private company, you know, that has a strong focus on profitability, versus, you know, maybe a more government-owned or government-sponsored kind of entity, which can potentially produce, you know, or, you know, sell planes, or, you know, work on much thinner margins given the government support. You know, is there kind of a big threat where, you know, beyond just the Chinese market that, you know, COMAC is likely going to eventually supply a lot of their planes to, but maybe a threat to some of the other customers that they have, that maybe even some of the more other international or even domestic carriers would prefer some of the potentially cheaper planes from COMAC?
I don't know how that would shake out, because right now almost 100% of COMAC's customers are Chinese and or based in Hong Kong. I think for American airlines or European airlines to be adopting COMAC, I do think the bar is really high. And I think a huge part of that is training the pilots. And I also think, although Boeing and the airlines in America and Europe are private, I do think they have the years of the U.S., you know, elected officials. So I think the bar for U.S. companies to adopt COMAC is very unlikely, in my opinion. I do think, however, for other developing countries, that is a real threat. I think right now we see all of the marginal demand for air travel comes from China, but I think in a few years, we would see the same for India, Pakistan, and African countries. So I think that's probably an easier point of entry for COMAC as compared to Boeing or Airbus. And I think we've seen China's influence in some of the other developing countries. So I think that's perhaps a more real threat.
I see.
Is
so
that
it seems
COMAC
like
will cannibalize those demand.
Right, and that kind of makes it tough for Boeing because, you know, if you think about growth, you know, it seems like an avenue, you know, in some of the historically, like we had discussed, in countries like China and other emerging market countries, if you start losing a lot of those customers, those are kind of the marginal customers that you kind of depend on for future growth. You're really only left with like your base, you know, your base customers, you know, in the long run. It almost feels like the long-term prospects of Boeing doesn't seem that bright with, you know, assuming a lot of this competition comes online and provides decent planes and operates well.
Yeah. And I think this would likely to be a long-term concerns for both Boeing and Airbus. But I think, you know, a huge amount of that is also the timeline. I think obviously if, depending on which comes first, if COMAC is able to deliver first versus MAX is able to return to service first. Because I think COMAC has been founded in 2008. So it's been on people's mind for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's COMAC has also experienced very dramatic delays again and again because of testing, because of production. So I think there's also a huge amount of uncertainty around COMAC's delivery too. But I think really given, you know, what happens with COVID, what happens with MAX, and it's really come down to timeline in my mind, which we're able to have confidence in its supply chain and in its investor first.
I see. So when we think about kind of Boeing stock, I mean, we feel as if it has enough cash on hand. And, you know, it's also at the same time critically important, very critically important company. It has a lot of, you know, defense contracts. It's not going to go away in the near term. But when we look at, you know, as an investor, if I was looking at the stock, you know, at 160 where it is today, you know, obviously it's had quite a bit of volatility over the past few days, trading down below 100, now back up to 160. You know, do we kind of see it, you know, where do we kind of see some of the, you know, kind of where do we see it going over the next few years? Because it seems short term, obviously, with the virus going on, with the scandal going on, with the 737 MAX scandal going on. Short term, there's so many kind of question marks in the near term horizon. And it seems like long term as well, there seems to be a lot of question marks. So, you know, what can we kind of expect out of it as a stock and as a business to invest in?
I think as you probably mentioned, like, you know, Boeing is not going anywhere in the near term or long term. It could 100%, you know, fare this crisis fairly well given the amount of cash, amount of government support, and amount of market pricing power and market share out there. Uh-huh. And I think the bigger concern regarding stock is I think that the company will survive and stock will eventually go up. And I think, but the better question I think to ask is your money better served investing in Boeing right now or, you know, investing in some other stocks in the same industry or in other industries? Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, part of Boeing until MAX is resolved is likely to trade sideways. And I think the timeline for the resolution, I think no investors would jump on, you know, a huge bullish Boeing trend just because the price is low yet, because I think all of the investors are, you know, what they need is the timeline for MAX. And I don't think mm-hmm. Boeing is giving them that. And I think reasonably so, because it's still so vague and so regulatory focused. So I think unless that's resolved, I don't see huge upside surprise on the Boeing's fundamental side. And I think like I think, you know, if you buy Boeing at 160, I think it would be appreciating. And but at the same time, would it be a faster recovery than Airbus? Would it be a faster recovery than some of the other companies out there? I think that's a question that investors need to ask themselves.
Mm-hmm. Because it feels like if you, you know, if you want to make a call on, you know, the virus, you know, obviously a lot of these, especially a lot of these airline stocks got hit down substantially with, I mean, you can't really travel during the virus. There's no demand for it. And, you know, if it seems like if you want to make a play towards a recovery, which, I mean, I would think would happen eventually sometime in the future, you know, obviously you could look at stocks like Boeing or Airbus. But among that universe, you would almost say, well, Airbus may have its own problems, but doesn't have as much visible and clear problems as Boeing has. You'd almost prefer stocks like Airbus over Boeing.
Yeah, I would think so. And I also think, you know, there are also suppliers to both that perhaps have better fundamentals in this environment. Because I think some of the suppliers might have more fungible products than something that's as unique as the Boeing 737 MAX, when so much of its future is contingent on this one product. So I think there probably could be better picks in the universe, even when investors are looking specifically to aerospace.
So I guess one of the suppliers that gets mentioned frequently with Boeing is Spirit AeroSystems. Kind of what are they, you know, how do they supply, in what kind of capacity do they supply Boeing? And do you expect that, you know, in the same circumstances of a recovery in the airline industry for them to kind of outperform Boeing?
I'm actually not quite sure what exactly they supply to Boeing. I do think it's perhaps more fungible. I think you probably need to look individually into each of the suppliers.
Are you, you know, I see, okay. So it's interesting that, like, I just thinking about Boeing as, you know, investment, it almost feels like, you know, it might not be that attractive at 160. Is there kind of a price where you might look at it and be like, hey, this is like, maybe it trades back down to the 80s or 90s. Is that a good deal? Or kind of, how do we assess, you know, when might be a good, you know, what might be a good price for Boeing if it happens to get down there?
I think that is a very, very tricky question, because it's almost asking the same question of like, if S&P goes to 2400, is it a good buy?
Yeah.
If it goes to 2200, is it a good buy? And I think, you know, like, it's a little bit of the same flavor, because I think right now a lot of investors are trying to find where the bottom is. And I think from a modeling perspective, there's, you know, free cash flow or, you know, multiples that people can come up with target numbers. And I've seen some of those being extremely grim in the 60 to 80 price range with 40% of upside. But I think all of those is a bit hard to say, because I think right now, as we are only on the last day of March, there's a huge amount of still finding the bottom and finding where the correct P ratio for the entire stock market will rest. So I think that is, you know, incredibly tricky question. It's probably the billion trillion dollar question at this point.
Right. It's just beyond Boeing itself. It's almost like, and I think no conversation would be complete without, you know, where do we see this whole virus thing going? You know, like, I feel like we get new information by the hour on the updated timelines on when we might expect, you know, on one hand, we have Trump suggesting he wants to reevaluate on Easter, whether or not, you know, he wants, you know, a lot of this quarantine to kind of be reduced. On the other hand, there seems to be a lot of medical professionals and other countries that, you know, seem to suggest that staying locked down in quarantine for an extended period of time until the virus is substantially better is the right play. I'm almost kind of not certain how long we're going to be in this, you know, this crazy, surreal environment.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I think, you know, from the demand side, perhaps, you know, the oil price would play into it eventually. So it's a lot of uncertainty around that. But I think in terms of the trading sessions in March or perhaps in April, I think funding bottom is probably still a big part of the price discovery for every stock out there. So it's unclear, I think, where is the bottom or where is the attractive price for Boeing. I think a large part contingent on where investors see stocks in general.
Mm-hmm. and Boeing might have, you know, maybe like a somewhat of a higher beta to just the general market, given its, you know, given its just exposure to some of the most sensitive industries during this period.
Yeah, definitely.
Almost, you know, from this discussion, I get the feeling that Boeing is a stock that, you know, obviously has a lot of, you know, headwinds in its way, but I almost feel like it's, you know, you can argue, you, if you want, you could see some price appreciation as soon as a lot of this, you know, near-term uncertainty unfolds, but almost as a long-term bet, and a very long-term bet, it doesn't seem like it's going to be one of those explosive growth type companies. Not that Boeing ever was that kind, but it just seems like there are a lot of, you know, longer-term threats to its, you know, to high growth later on, and compounded with kind of some of these near-term problems.
Yeah, I think you know, it's probably very tempting to buy Boeing now for a quick recovery, but I think Boeing, like you said, it was never one of those, you know, explosive growth company. In fact, it's one of the high dividend and very mature company, and I just don't think it would be like, it's unrealistic to expect Boeing to behave like perhaps Zoom. And I think, you know, if you want that kind of exponential growth, perhaps one of the younger companies is more fitting. And I think that's probably where, you know, the initial temptation comes from, is for like a quick recovery. However, I think, you know, as anything goes, if you really bought in the 90s and now it's in 160s, is probably a great deal. But it just, I think, you know, it's really to have the correct expectation. I think it's probably expected to trade sideways for a while and to return to a mature company behavior in the long term.
That makes sense. It's kind of like you can't simply look at, and not that you should do this or anything, but or it might be a good idea, but you know, if you can't look at the chart and say, oh, it was at 300 something, traded down to 80, must be a good buy. I mean, if you caught the lows, then it is a good buy.
Yeah.
but if you evaluate it from here going forward, it feels like, you know, you could see upside. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of volatility over the coming days and weeks across all markets, really. But, you know, it almost feels like you'd be naive to think, okay, well, this thing doubles again, you know, in the next couple of days or a couple of weeks. Like, that would just be, you know, that wouldn't be the right mindset. You'd think sideways, slow grind, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll stick around, you know, but as a kind of a safe and secure company, but probably not... probably not back to its heydays.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this has been a really good kind of overall coverage of Boeing in general. Is there any kind of like final thoughts that you would add? You know, where do you kind of see it? You know, who would you, given what we told, I think we covered it a bit, but would you personally recommend investing at this time period, or when would you might invest, or, you know, would you stay away from it completely, or do you have any kind of final thoughts on Boeing?
I just think it's incredibly tricky. I think investing in this volatile market for any stock requires a lot of like thoughts and a lot of decisions. And I think, you know, Boeing, given its uncertainty, I think I think long term is likely to appreciate. However, like the question is really, is this the best investment that you can make in this amount of time? And I think each person needs to think for themselves and their kind of horizon. And I think, you know, perhaps to align your expectation for where it eventually would be.